George Washington said, "The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next." I want you to let that sink in for just a thought there. The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. We're in trouble. When the church house has just become another entertainment venue, we're in trouble.
Amen.
We're in trouble when we expect to come and to sing and to stand and to sit and to clap and maybe even get a little excited, but we don't expect anything more than that. Even in the Pentecostal churches in America, the platform's no longer called the platform, it's called the stage. Every time I hear somebody say, "I'm going to help you set up the stage," my stomach rolls, and I said, "You mean the platform? Why does your stomach roll?" Because that's not a performance venue. We didn't come here to entertain you, sis. I know we're pretty good at what we do. I'm not going to claim we're excellent at what we do, but we're pretty good at what we do. But my job is not to entertain you. My job is to meet you at your point of need and bring you straight up into the presence of God so that He can take care of whatever's troubling you.
Amen.
And we've been there several times tonight, and my goodness, what a way to start revival. I'm happy about it. But how did you come to the house tonight? Did you just come to see what kind of loud, obnoxious suits the DHM would be wearing, specifically that Brother Mike? Did you come to see that my bald spot is filling in? Flintstone gummy vitamins, folks. Did you come because you never know what I'm going to say? You never know what story I'm going to tell. You never know if I'm going to tell you about kicking a rock and finding your joy. Every time I see that there, I get tickled. Because I remember when I preached it and they went out the next morning and found that rock and that was a God thing, folks. Joy cometh. But if you just came in here to see us, you came for the wrong reason. A lot of you came in this place tonight, you came in dusty. I told the team back there, we were praying, and I said, "Father, New Beginnings feels a little bit dusty today. Water us with your presence." And you can tell when the congregation's getting dusty, Brother Donnie. Pastor Payne, you can tell when the congregation's getting dusty, Brother Mike, because they start bickering amongst one another. We don't need any of that garbage here.
Amen.
In fact, Sister D, we don't need any of that garbage anywhere in Missouri. We don't need it in Illinois. We don't need it in fact, why do we even have it in the house of God anyways? Been praying for you.
Thank you.
I know. You're going to get a lot more. We've been praying twice as hard for you, sis. I'm talking to family tonight. I look at most of y'all. Some of y'all are either faces that I've met before and forgotten your face, or I've never met you before. How many of y'all have ever, this is your first time seeing DHM? How many of y'all are enjoying yourselves? How many of y'all are planning on coming back and dragging somebody with you tomorrow? When the house of God becomes what it's supposed to be in the community, vans stop by playgrounds and tell kids, "Hey, we're going to church, come on. I'll give you candy." I was with Brother Bob Newton in Stanley, Wisconsin. We were ministering at church up there, and while I heard one of the strangest testimonies I've ever heard in my life, he actually opened up that evening to testimonies from everybody. And this young man got up and he began to testify. And he was only 16 years old and he was a Methodist boy. He'd been to church twice that year, so he'd fulfilled his obligation. They were out playing basketball at a park and the van stopped by the park and picked up. He was the only one that got in the van. He said, "Sure, I ain't got nothing better to do and it's hot." So he got in the van and he came on to church. And a 16-year-old boy with tears flooding down his face began to jump up and down 8 feet in the air. This kid was like an antelope. I was like, "Yeah! Why are you so happy?" Still just crying. And he said, "The doctors told me I would never be able to jump and play basketball again. But God's presence healed me tonight, and I can jump without pain. All because someone cared enough to stop by a park and ask him to get in that van. That's when the church of God is no longer dusty. Hello? Amen. There was moisture in the atmosphere, so that someone just on a voice of the Holy Spirit stopped and invited him to come. And he got his healing that night. I could think of no greater testimony for this revival, Brother Donnie, than someone just on the whim of the Holy Spirit stopped and said, hey, will you come? And that person came and gets their healing in these services. Because that's what the church is all about. I don't care how good the music is. I don't care how good the light show is. I don't care how much we jump up and down. I don't care what our instruments are worth. What I do care about is if Father God shows up and graces us with his presence. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, there'll probably be a night I'll be off key this revival. It just inevitably... Put your hand down, Matthew. I'm going to start giving you the looks you were giving Malachi. But it's inevitable. There will be one song a week. Matthew gets, so, 5-second commercial. We're recording all the services. If you want them, we sell you flash drives. Brother Donnie can tell you they're pretty decent quality. You just slip it right in. I wasn't peddling merchandise, baby, but go ahead and bring it over here. No, just the flash drive. Okay, fine, give me all of it. Never do this during a sermon. Listen, you want to take us home? We have 2 CDs. This is, it's old, it's wonderful. We love this CD. The one we're standing on there, the old white one, if you've got that one, you need this one. This is much better. Amen, sister? She's busy with kid. This is brand new, folks. Friday Night Revival with DHM. People said, huh?
She said yes.
This is better than the first one, right? Amen. She said, I haven't taken it out of my car yet. There was some missionaries stopped by the church 2 months ago, and they stopped by our church again last month. They're becoming part of our church. And he said, I haven't taken that CD out of my car for 6 weeks. And he said, it got stuck in my CD player. I said, I'm so sorry, I'll buy you a new CD player. He said, no. He said, we didn't want to take it out. He said, my daughter memorized I'm on the battlefield. He said, she'd never heard it before. Neither had I. And he's a missionary going to Guatemala and Nicaragua and Panama. Fantastic story. Anyways, those are great. But this is something we're very excited about. We would like to sell you a flash drive. How many of y'all know what a flash drive is? How many of y'all, well, if you don't, then just buy a CD. You'll be happier with that. These are also $10. Brother Donnie, when we were in Kelowna earlier this year, bought a flash drive with all the services on it from that set of meetings. If he brings that flash drive back Sunday night, we will download all the services from this time for free. You buy this, the services are free. Okay? So keep it. Bring it back year after year after year after year. We'll reload it for you. Matthew's got a few other things he's throwing on there that he just kind of likes to throw on there. Why? Because we want to do whatever it takes to reach the lost. When this church thinks up creative things like this, listen, I'm not asking the church to eat all the expense. We can't, so why should I ask you? But I'm asking you, what better tool can you use to get the gospel in people's hands? So that's all these are. And they're available if you want them. Talk to Vic, talk to Matthew. They don't let me touch them anymore. I give too much stuff away free. They actually lock the cases. I can't even get in them. I don't got a key. The church is not an entertainment venue. DHM owns, I think, right around $20,000 in LED stage lighting. Do you see it set up? Nor will you ever, because that's not what it's all about. That lighting is for plays and productions like that, but it's not for worship. But we've gotten somewhere confused in the house of God, thinking that if we can make it look more modern, we can get people in the house. And I'm here to tell you, it's not the modern look that you need. It's the anointing of God that you need flowing out of this house. It's God's people prayed up, fired up, read up, and ready to minister is what we need in this house. Well, Brother Mike, I don't feel anything when I go in there. Well, check yourself, honey, because it's not the rest of the people in the house that's in trouble. It's you. You may not have me back next year, but it's true. If you're having a problem getting anything from God, you're the one in error. Your brother or sister that's offended, you may not even know what they've done. Well, they should know. Well, most of us aren't prophets, folks. And we're sure not psychics. We're not mind readers. I thank God for a very sensible wife, Brother Mike. She has never once said, just looked at me all mean and nasty and hateful. And I go, what's the matter? Well, if you don't know. We have never once in 15 years, not once, had that conversation. She's a practical woman. Be practical with the people around you in the house of God. Amen. Why? Because we're people too. Amen. Maybe you're having a rotten moment, but maybe we're having a rotten year. Amen. And because of your one moment, you can't see our year. Hello. Amen. And that's why all the more we need to be prayed up when we come in the house of God. Because the devil's job is to divide the family. The devil's job is to sow discord amongst the family. He sows tares amongst the wheat. Why? So that we get to bickering within ourselves. It's not time for that, new beginnings. The transitions God's got this place in, it's not time for any of that. It's time for us to trust God's plan. I've watched for the last 2 years God's plan in motion. I've been praying for the last 2 years desperately that it would be a smooth transition into his plan. Why? Because we don't like change, Brother Mike. You want to know how ridiculous that is? I went out and bought me a brand new suit. I was sharp, man. Charcoal, white pinstripes, reflective, light gray lapels, cufflinked jacket. You can imagine it. I look good. I got the gray shoes to match, like I got the blue shoes for the blue suit. Someone said, literally, that's boring. Why? Because I guess my wife and I are like birds. I'm the flashy, bright one, a bunch. Sister Kathy Davis went with me to Detroit, picked out the suit. I wore it to her church. She walks up to me and says, "That's boring." I said, "You picked it out." What are you talking about? We don't like change. But change is necessary for growth. You will never grow without change. Amen. And what God's doing in this place is change, period. Somebody say change.
Change.
I like.
Change.
I like.
Change.
Now say, I like.
I like.
Change. Change. Don't lie to me. Change is hard, but necessary. Listen. There were some people in Mark chapter 2. They had this buddy, and he was sick of a palsy, and he was laid out on his bed. He couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. And they grabbed him up. They said, "Come on. We know where Jesus is at." And they took him, and they pressed into the house, but the house was too full. It was just cramming out. It was standing room only, folks. Everybody was standing. Nobody was sitting, and you couldn't press through. What would it be like in this? Well, the fire marshal wouldn't be happy, but what would it be like in this house if it was so tightly jammed people could only stand and not sit down because the power and presence and manifestation of God was here? So they tore the roof off the place. And yet, your biggest problem is you can't get what God's got for you because your brother or sister looked at you funny. Brother Mike didn't wear them bright suits. DHM didn't sing my song. Oh, God forbid. Do you really think you're going to make the trumpet sound and go in the rapture of the church bickering with your brother and sister? I don't know why I'm stuck here. I'm going to move on, but that's a good thought. Some of us are pretty deceived within ourselves. Fooled ourselves into thinking we're okay. You're not okay. You're not okay. Is this my brother?
How are we doing, sir?
You just got off work. You smell great. Thank you for coming. I'm honored. No, I'm honored. I'm honored that you're here. When I was a kid, we came into the house of God expecting God to move. The reason they tore the roof off the place wasn't because they thought maybe Jesus could heal him. No, they knew he was the answer to what they needed. And they tore the roof off in expectation of a healing for their friend. How many of y'all have drugged somebody to the house of God and had them prayed over recently saying, I know that God can heal you. I know that God will heal you. I got to get you to the house so that he can touch you. Well, Brother Mike, it don't work like that here. Oh, yes, it does, honey. God's power is just as real here. I sense him just as real here as I have anywhere. And I know he can heal you tonight. But I'm tired of churches saying, it don't work like that. It has to work like that. God's word says it works like that. The Bible says plain and simply, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. We better get over ourselves in the house of God. 3 weeks ago, I woke up, and I don't know how I did it, but I threw a rib. It was wonderful. And it was one of them floating ribs. It wasn't up here, and I couldn't breathe deep. With my lungs, if you can't breathe deep, that's a problem. You're going to get pneumonia. I couldn't breathe deep. 3 days in, I said, fine, I'll call the chiropractor. I went to the chiropractor. She slipped that thing in on a Wednesday. By Wednesday evening, it was out again. I'm laying there in bed and I can't sleep. How many of you ever had those pains where you just can't sleep and they're robbing your peace? How many of you in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and the pain is robbing your peace, remember that you can call on a Father who has already healed you?
Amen.
It's 2:00 in the morning and I said, Father God, this is disgusting, it's sickening, and I am ashamed. Touch this body. But I was praying under my breath because my wife was sleeping beside me. I was trying to be respectful and I heard the Lord say, if you want a physical healing, you better physically ask for it. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, put this rib in. I moved my foot and the thing popped in. And it never slid back out. Because when God does something, it's all the way. And some of you are saying, well, Brother Mike, he just don't work like that for me. It's because you've lost your expectancy. I'm trying to preach nice. I remember this little lady. She said, oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't even want his attention. She just wanted to touch him. Again. The multitude so thick she couldn't get through. So she crawled in the dust and in the filth. And she got up to where he was and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And it caught his attention. Some of you need to catch the attention of the master as he walks by tonight. He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Have you lost your mind?" Brother Mike, there's going to be times when God gives you a word and you're going to deliver it, and people around you are going to go, "Have you lost your mind?" "No, no, I got a new one." "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." "I've got a new mind. I put on the mind of Christ." Hallelujah. "I got a new one." Man, that's good stuff. Sis, I remember that in the Bible, most of what I'm talking about is out of the Bible, by the way, in case you didn't know that. In the Bible, we read a passage where there was this blind man sitting on the side of the road. While he was blind, he wasn't deaf. Heard somebody whisper, "There goes Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people around him said, "Shut up, you ain't got anything to offer. You're blind. You're a beggar. You're worthless." I don't care what people speak over you. I don't care what people speak over you in this church. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." Say it, "Have mercy."
"Have mercy."
Come on, say it, "Have mercy."
"Have mercy."
"On me."
"On me."
Why? "Because I'm not worthy of your attention, Lord. But I know that I've got it."
Amen.
And you know what happened? Jesus stopped and he said, "Bring him here." And the man walked away healed. There was a young lady walked into a very religious dinner. And as she walked in, she didn't say anything. She just went to Jesus and she broke her precious ointment, alabaster vessel, and she poured the ointment all over his feet and just cried because she knew she had nothing to offer. But she also knew that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And while she had nothing to offer, he had everything she needed. And her brokenness poured out on his feet. And the religious people, the people that should have known better, the Bible says Simon thought in his heart, if he were a prophet, he's having dinner with Jesus, doubting Jesus is even a man of God. If he were a prophet, he'd know that she's a sinner. And Jesus, perceiving what he had said within his heart, turned and looked and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you. Church, I have something to say to you. You've judged too many by what they have instead of by who they are."
Amen.
For we're all God's children. And we're all in need of a Savior. Team, come back. "Simon, I have something to say to you. There was a man, and two men owed him money. One owed him 5 talents, the other one owed him 2. And he flat forgave them both. Which one loved the master more?" Simon said, "The one to whom the most was forgiven." He said, "Simon, you've spoke right. Why are we looking at what people look like on the outside, what they act like? Outside of these walls is irrelevant. We can't be a family if we're looking at what everybody's doing outside."
Right.
I don't want to sit by them. You better get over yourself, honey. You're about to wreck God's house.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your situation is. What I do care about is this fact. We've lost our expectancy. We've forgotten that we just come into church to worship the name of the Lord Most High. We've forgotten that we just come into this house for no other reason than to pour our worship out on God and to pour our praise out on Him. Not for what He can do for us, but what He's already done. So I need healings from time to time. Well, I'm going to come in and I'm going to get them when I need them. But on those days I don't need him, I'm not going to lose my fervor for worship or my fervor for praise, because those are the days I need to praise him more and I need to worship him more, because trouble's coming. And when trouble comes, then I'm in a better place to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Brother Mike, I don't have anything to offer the Lord. He doesn't want your stuff. He's got plenty of stuff. He just wants you.